Since we've been looking at prayer, I decided to have a look online, steps to get your prayers answered the way that you want to. I found an article that was 7 steps to prayer that bring results. And it started out okay. It started off with pray God's word. And so that's something that I've been saying we should do, pray God's word, stuff that's in line with him. And then it said, then you need to steep yourself in faith, which is good. Be faithful. That's a good thing to do. And then it turned a little bit into positive visualization. So pretend that you've already got what you're praying for. Pretend and just act like God has already said yes and given you what you've asked for. And then it sort of ended in you doing kind things for other people and then praying for other people so that if you wanted something, you'd pray that someone else would get it first, so then God would help you get it as well, or something like that. You pray for someone else to get what you want and then God will give it to you as well, maybe. It was difficult. It was like you needed to balance your blessings with charity to try and get sort of like a transaction. So you did this much and then God would give you this much. Now, there's nothing particularly wrong with being kind to others and praying for others and their needs. There's nothing wrong with wanting God to do good things for us. But together it felt too much like a picture of us trying to manipulate God, trying to get God to convince him that he should do what we wanted him to do. We pretend that he's already given it to us, and that way he'd be a bit embarrassed if he doesn't hold up his end of the bargain, maybe. Try and give to other people so that he feels he has to give to us as well. So when we do come to God with our needs and our requests for him, what should we expect? How should we bring our desires to him? As we charge into 2022, we are reminding ourselves of how it is that we talk and engage with God. We saw last year that God wants us to be people who are praising, thanking, and praying to him all the time. So as we start the year, we are looking at prayer. We're going through the Lord's Prayer. As Liz said, it is the model that Jesus gave us for how we should pray. We're looking at it as a model that shapes our prayer. Now, we've looked at the first 2 lines, and we saw that we pray to our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That showed us who we are praying to and how we approach him. He is our close, loving Father, but he is also our holy God who we approach with praise. We then looked at your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we saw how we pray for others and our world. We pray for God's renewing, restoring kingdom to grow in people's lives. Today we'll look at how we pray for ourselves and the things that we need with Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. Now, before we look at what we need, I just want to note that before we do that, we praise God and we ask that his plans are fulfilled and his will to be done, and then we ask for our needs. So Jesus tells us to pray for our needs by saying, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, there are a couple things that we can see and be aware of here first. First, it's about our immediate needs, and second, it's about our essentials. So he says it twice that it's our needs for today. Give us this day our daily bread, which emphasizes today's needs. Now, I have a tendency when I pray, I want to pray for big earth-moving things. God, I want our church to have 500 people in it. I want to preach sermons that cut to people's hearts and have them change their lives around to being great servants of the kingdom, more than they already are. And I want my children to grow up to be amazing. I want my marriage to be the sort of thing that people commemorate in songs and poems. And all of those things are great. They're great things to be praying for long term, in a long term sort of way. But that kind of turns my relationship with God into my 10-year plan. God is our loving Father who wants a relationship with us. God's will for us is to be engaging with his presence, praying without ceasing. If I pray for those things, God may well make them happen, but his will, not mine, be done. So if I'm praying for my daily bread instead of my 10-yearly feast, then maybe instead of praying for our church to have 500, I pray that today we sow a seed in someone's life with the gospel, or someone is inspired to talk to their friend or family member about God after the service. Maybe I pray that when I preach, one person will stop doing the find a word on the grapevine and listen and put into practice how they can engage with God more. Instead of praying for my children to just be amazing, maybe I pray that Felix would get his alphabet a bit better today, and that Violet will have an opportunity to grow in her art. Maybe I pray that after our kids go to bed, I'll have enough energy to spend quality time with my wife and build our relationship. Jesus says that we shouldn't worry about tomorrow because today has enough worries of its own. So when we pray for our daily bread, we focus on the immediate. It also has a tendency to make it easier to see if God answers your prayer. If I pray big and lofty things, it's harder to keep track of when God and how God answers them. If I pray for my children, they are people who change and shift with mood, development stages, and whether they go to bed on time or not. So it's hard to gauge how they change. If I'll pray for them to grow in their, or for small specific things, it's easier to see if God answers it. If I pray for them to grow in their love for the Bible, and then I see at bedtime they want to choose Bible stories to read instead of Cat in the Hat, then I know God has answered my prayer. Now, when we talk about daily bread, there is an Old Testament story that would have immediately come to mind. When the Israelites escaped from Egypt and were wandering in the desert, they needed food, and so God made a bread-like substance appear on the ground each morning called manna. And they were to gather up enough for that day to bake into bread. And if they tried to hoard it and keep it for themselves, it would be covered in worms the next day. They were in a situation where they were literally relying on God for their daily bread each day. When I think about it, there's something really beautiful to face your day waiting in expectation for what God has for you that day. You're not getting overwhelmed by that thing that's going to happen at work on Friday. You're not thinking about how you can avoid today's tasks until the weekend comes along and you get the sweet relief of leisure time. But seeing the moment that God has for you and praying about that, expecting God to act as your loving Father and holy God when you open the cupboard to make breakfast in the morning, to thank him for the Weet-Bix and the milk that you eat and drink, to pray about the traffic that you'll face on the way to work, and thank God for the green lights that you get. And when you get red lights, you use that time to pray or think about what God has for you when you get to work. Now, this is not how I naturally operate. I want to stress and worry about Friday's tasks, so I shovel my breakfast down, similar to how you would put fuel in your car at the petrol station, and then I go through the rest of things that I'm doing to either try to avoid my worry or indulge it. Now, this doesn't mean that we never pray for future things. It's good to pray for the future needs and what God is going to do. Jesus tells us a parable about persistent prayer, being persistent in prayer. But it is an act of reliance on God in our everyday life. You are a beloved child of God. He gives you moments to live in. So when we pray for our needs, whilst we can pray for the big future things, we pay special attention to our daily minute-by-minute needs. The second part of our prayer is that it's daily bread. We pray for our bread. We don't pray for our daily brioche or our daily cake. We pray for our essentials. Now, we live in a world where we're being encouraged to compare what we have with what someone else has and to work hard so that we can have that also. Now, I am 35 years old, and in my memory, there has never been a meal that I have had to skip because I didn't have enough food to eat or enough money to buy food to eat. This is not the case for a large percentage of the world's population. But what it does is that it skews what I think that I need. I assume that food is a given, and so anything that I think that I need from God is in addition to what I already have to survive for the next week. This makes me feel entitled to things that I do not need. Last year around Christmas, I talked about how I wanted a PlayStation 5 video game console, but they were always selling out and very hard to get. They are still selling out and hard to get, and I don't have one yet. Now, my modern consumer brain thinks that it's unthinkable that this day and age that I would have to wait over a year before one is available. In truth, I have not prayed for one, and I haven't tried very hard to get one because my video game time is pretty slim these days, and I still have my old PlayStation 4 with a bunch of games that I haven't finished on it. But every time that I see an ad for a game that is going to come exclusively to PlayStation 5 with its 4K resolution and shiny graphics and controllers with haptic feedback triggers, I feel like maybe my daily bread has gone stale. Now, this is preposterous. I have enjoyed 35 years without a PlayStation 5, and whilst one would probably be enjoyable, dwelling on it only makes me jealous, ungrateful, and miserable. Proverbs 30, verse 8 says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you. And say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." So when we pray for what we need, not just what we want. Does this mean that we cannot ask for God what we don't essentially need? Well, it doesn't. It's more of an attitude towards how we view God as our Father who we ask for things. God is not our vending machine. He's not a seven-step process to procuring what you want. The other parts of prayer all point to God as the one who knows better. So when we pray for our daily bread, that means that we pray for what is immediate, showing moment-by-moment reliance on God. And we pray for what is essential, as that keeps us relying on God. Remember that in prayer, we are engaging with God's presence in the world, being conscious that you are God's beloved child, experiencing his gifts in every moment. Thanking and praising him is his desire for you, for your benefit. So then, do we come before God, always being aware of our every desire and inclination, and try to exploit our relationship with him? If we're so focused on what we're saying right, do we not tell him anything, or do we just not ask for things because we think that would be selfish? Well, no. One of the great comforts that I find in prayer is that I can be completely honest with God about what I'm feeling and thinking. Jesus does instruct us to pray at different times, and when he does, he's usually speaking against people who use prayer for manipulation or big noting themselves before God. But God is responsive to honest, humble prayer. I think in our churches, there's been a lot of pressure to be okay in any situation because we think that it reflects poorly on our faith if we are struggling. We love to tell stories about the Apostle Paul and all of the suffering that he went through and all those times that he talks about faith in those moments. And so we think that we need to be people whose faith in God is never wavers. And so we always have the right answer. I'm always fine because I know that I've got to be praising and thanking and praying without ceasing. We think that it honours God and our faith if we are always fine. But the Bible is much more honest about the reality of struggling and the reality of trouble and struggle as part of our lives. One of the songs which we sung in church when I was growing up was "As the Deer Pants for the Water," which, if you remember it, it goes, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you." Which is a nice hymn about someone seeking God and trusting in him. Now, it's based in part on Psalm 42, which starts, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God." But then the psalm goes on, and the psalmist talks about how they are in complete despair, and they don't know what God is doing. They talk about how their tears are their food, as people mock them and say, "Where is your God?" He remembers the times when he used to praise God and he hopes to again, but now everything is a struggle. He says, "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God?" He laments, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." He keeps looking forward to a day where he can praise God again, but right now he just can't do it. Psalms can be a model of the sort of songs we can sing and prayers that we can pray to God. When things are tough, we can come to him with complete honesty. We have lost the art of lamenting and think that Christianity means that we need a happy face. But that is not the example that we have in these psalms. There are people going through crisis and calling out to God, wondering what he is doing. And it doesn't always end in a quick, happy answer. Now, I think that there is true joy in following God. I think it's good to praise and thank and pray all the time. And that is what God wants for us, for our benefit. But what happens when we can't do it? When we are asking, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" When we're in that situation, we can still come to God. I take great comfort when I pray, knowing that God knows everything. I don't have to pretend. I can tell him what I am feeling and going through, and sometimes he comforts me in it. I have times when I stew on situations, and so I bring them before God. I tell him what's upsetting me and why, and then I feel my burdens lifted. It also means that I can pray for things like PlayStation 5s if I want, because he is my loving father and wants me to be engaging with him in honest conversation. And he can show me that I don't need that. Or sometimes he may want to show me his grace by saying yes, and he gives me a PlayStation 5. He hasn't yet, but we'll see. So when we pray for ourselves, we pray for our daily bread, the things that are immediate and essential. And we are also honest with God in prayer because we can trust God. This leads us to a tricky question. What do we do about unanswered prayer? Often our prayers are not for PlayStations, but we want healing from an illness. We want a loved one to stop suffering. We want the struggle we experience at the hand of other people's evil to cease. We want to be able to provide lots and lots of good things for our children. We want good relationships. God does not always answer the way that we would like. Well, I'll say a couple of things about it. First, there are usually three possibilities when we pray for something. We get a yes answer, and what we ask, God gives us. Or sometimes we are told to wait. Then God gives us what we ask for, but not straight away. And sometimes we get a no answer where God does not give us what we ask for. How do we know which it will be? Often we don't. The hard reality is that we have to trust God in the answers that we want and in the answers that we don't want. Last week, I asked us all to pray for different things, and on the things that we prayed for was for God to show a small amount of grace in someone's life. I prayed for my wife. Then I found out after the service that someone in the congregation gave her a little comic strip that praised her work as the person who does church rosters. So immediately there was this little act of God's grace shown to my wife before I had even prayed it. He said yes straight away. Yet in uni, I had a friend's dad get cancer, and I prayed that God would heal him. My friend was on the fence about God, and I thought that if God healed him, that would be an amazing witness to my friend. God did not heal him, and my friend's dad passed away. I still don't really understand it. I don't understand why God heals some people and not others. And that is the problem that the psalmist in Psalm 42 has, where he knows the great things that God has done in the past, but now he is struggling and his enemies are mocking him and it feels like God has forgotten him. We pray God's will be done. And when we do that, we have to know that we are talking to our loving Father and holy God. And when we don't understand, we have to trust that he does. And all the things that we feel in between there, we know that we can be honest with him about it. Because we know that Jesus prayed that his cup be taken from him, that if possible, he not go to the cross. And then he prayed, yet not my will, but yours be done. So we can do the same, knowing that we can trust God, because he has shown immeasurable love to us, and he knows more than us about any situation we face. Now it is the time for us to put our prayer into practice. I want us to continue to build on the prayer, so we will take a deep breath, knowing that God is present with us. We'll think of a reason that God answers our prayer and praise him for it. We'll pray for God's kingdom to come, either in a big situation in the world or in someone's life, someone else that you know's life, or in a small act of God's grace and love in someone's life. Then to add to that today, I want you to pray for your daily bread. Tell God how you were feeling about things honestly. Pray for what you'll need for the rest of the day, and pray for what you would like to see God do in your life this year. Then after, I will give you 3 to 5 minutes to pray, and then we'll start the last song, and you can continue to pray during the last song or join in worship. Let us pray.